Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's text is going to come from our gospel lesson, specifically verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Now, this scripture kind of hits home with me with what's happened over the last few weeks. And many of you may have known my dad has went home to be with the Lord over the last couple of weeks. So I've drawn deep, deep comfort from the words spoken in the Bible. The fact that this would be the text available on the weekend after my father's funeral, that I was up to preach is not a coincidence, but in fact, God at work. Now, like many of us who have lost loved ones along the way, Martha and Mary had lost their brother Lazarus, and they all grieve. We all grieve. But Martha had an interesting statement. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been there, my brother would not have died." Now, while on the surface, this may sound like complaining or blaming, it was actually an incredible statement of faith. The commentary I read put it this way: there's just a slight shade of reproach in the words, but also the firm trust and faith in the Lord's ability to help in all vicissitudes of life. The mere presence of Christ in the house of sickness would have banished death and its terrors. And even now, she goes on to say, she knows and is firmly convinced that every petition of Christ is heard by his heavenly Father. Martha naturally used the same expressions which she had so often heard from the mouth of Jesus. The Lord had always referred his works to the Father and stated that he worked at the will of the Father. So Martha also expressed her strong faith in the terms with which she had become familiar. If only a Christian has such sound foundation for his faith, resting it upon the conviction gained from the word of Christ, then he is able to conquer anything. Quite simply put, her faith told her that sickness would be banished and that death would be banished in his presence. "If you had been there, Lord, death would have stood no chance against you." She further evidences this by saying that she knows he is the resurrection and the life. She knows we will all be raised on the last day. And like I said, at a funeral, everyone is in mourning for the temporal and physical loss of that man. People were coming from Jerusalem. They were coming from all around to mourn with Martha and Mary at the loss of their brother. The irony of this, though, is that Jesus knew days before that he was sick. And Jesus knew that earlier in the chapter, he says he knew that Lazarus had died. Verse 11 says, "After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, 'Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover.' Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he meant taking rest in sleep. And Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.'" Did you hear that last part? "And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe." The more and more I read and the more I study God's word, the more I learn that there is a purpose for everything. Sadly, we walk through and look at life through sin-covered glasses. We often view things selfishly. We often want our relatives to stick around forever, no matter the pain, the suffering, the anguish, the care that's required. We don't want them to leave. Take last week's gospel about the man born blind. What was the disciples' question? Who sinned? Him or his parents? That he would be born blind. What was Jesus' response? Verse 3 says, Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. Go back. Verse 15 of this week's lesson. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. You see what's happening here? There's a purpose behind everything. While we don't always understand it, and while we look at it temporally, while we look at it through sin-covered glasses, we don't always see the big picture. Think about, what did this miracle last week cause? It caused a division. It caused people to believe. It caused a huge uproar within the group of Pharisees and Sadducees. They didn't know what to do with this man. They bring the blind man in, they question him, they bring his parents in, they question him, and then they kick everybody out. Meanwhile, the man got his sight back. It was a miracle. People believed. What does Jesus say to Martha again? I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Let's apply that to Lazarus. Let's look at this week. How did things go this week? Last week we had the big trial for the blind man. This week, further in the reading it says, many of the Jews therefore had come with Mary and had seen what he did and believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. We let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said, you know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not the whole nation should perish. He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into the children of God who are scattered abroad. So from that day forward, they make plans to put him to death. More people believed, but now we've taken it to the next level. We see a foreshadowing of his death on the cross. One man to die for the people rather than the people, all the people to perish. That sound familiar? One man to pay for all the sins rather than people paying for all their own sins. Everything has a purpose. Everything. And it's usually to display fully God's amazing mercy and grace, to manifest his infinite glory for the world to see. He healed a man born blind. Nobody had ever done that before. He brought a man back after 4 days of being dead. Nobody had ever done that before. And what is he doing? He's upsetting the powers that be, but he's causing the other people to believe. As humans, as sinful humans, we stay so focused on the temporal, we overlook the eternal. They had the eternal God in their presence and what he brings with him through his life, death, and resurrection. And what did they want to do? They wanted to kill him. Others believed, others wanted to kill him. The faith to which we hold to, the faith on which we all place our hope, is there in the life, death, and resurrection of our Savior. Again, from the commentary, I found another beautiful statement. It says, the believers, therefore, though they seemingly succumb to temporal death, yet have life. Are full possessors of life in the midst of death. They are partakers and sharers with Christ in the full and complete life that had no beginning for him, and shall have no end for them that put their trust in his redemption alone. Death is only the gateway to the full and perfect life. It has no terrors for the Christian, since it has been swallowed up in victory by the resurrection of Jesus. That's beautiful. That's what we hold on to. And as we come nearer and nearer to the celebration of Easter, We remember why death no longer has a hold over us. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 5, he says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, that in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation." Death defeated. Sin paid in full. Paul later reminds us in chapter 6 that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have redemption. We have been paid, bought and paid for. Our sins covered, all in this incredible deed. As we remember, we learn, we study his word. The whole book points to the God's plan for salvation for his people. Something seemingly impossible for us to grasp. How do we wrap our heads around the idea that the righteous, perfect, and sinless one would die for the sinner, that the sinner may live in eternal righteousness and perfection? How does the hero die to save the villain? He came to earth. He became a man like us, but without sin. He lived a life we were made to live, in constant fellowship with the Father. He set aside his deity. He humbled himself. He showed us the face of our Creator, his love, his glory, and his power. But he was rejected, shunned, beaten, tortured, humiliated by the very people he came to save. Yet he did it anyway, and he opened that door. He took our sin upon him, he bore our eternal punishment, and he was cursed that we might be blessed. Brothers and sisters, find comfort in his word. Meditate on his promises. Glorify his name. And remember what he told Martha. "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Those in Christ will never die. Death is but a gateway to eternal paradise in the presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for all who believe. To God be the glory. Now may this peace that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.